the day we got born again, we were born into the promised land. You live based on what God has said. You carry it in your spirit. If He has said it, it's true. Your joy, your fulfillment, your mood is independent on happiness. So we don't live based on happiness. We live based on God's will. We live from the inside. Let your heart be established in grace. You are a mobile temple. Prayer is allowed anywhere, anytime. Sito keto, moti kate, rito kopoto keta, sudeke ponde kidede. Christianity is a display of divine essence, true men on earth. You see, when spiritual hunger gains the ascendancy, gains the dominance over your mind, you don't even see anything as sacrifice.
So as you grow spiritually, you generate a potential difference. And that potential difference will bring to you the monies you need, it will bring to you the people you need, it will bring to you the necessary materials you need to fulfill your God-given calling on the earth.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you getting blessed already? You may be seated. Amen. Your revelation is in a worship song. You may not know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Just lift your hands where you are. And bless the name of the Lord. He's worthy. He's our King. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. He's worthy of all our praise. He's worthy of all our honor. He's worthy of the lifting up of our hands. He's worthy of the lifting up of our lives. We give Him praise. We give Him glory. Just go ahead. Don't wait for a song. Just open your mouth and give Him glory. Oh, we give you praise, we give you glory. Oh, we worship,
I'm in love with you,
Lord. Thank you for your love. Oh, your word says we could love because
you're the reason we live.
Oh, we thank you for your love.
You're the reason
we live. Oh, you love this money, noon night. Oh, we are grateful for
you. You're the one for me, you God.
Oh, we are grateful for you.
You're the one for me, you God.
Oh, thank you for causing your life to serve. Oh, we give you praise.
Oh,
we give you glory. We give you praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we worship
you of all the glory.
Oh, we worship
you. Oh, we
worship
you. Oh, we give you all.
Oh, we give you all the glory. Come on, just worship. Oh, we give you all the glory. Oh, we give you worship tonight. You are the Lamb of God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. You are the Lamb that was slain.
I'm in love with you.
We bless you, Lord. We worship you, Lord.
I'm in love with you.
Oh,
I'm in love with you, Lord.
I'm in love with you.
Thank you for your love. Thank you.
Everybody sing.
Open your mouth and speak in tongues. Worship Him in the spirit. Worship Him in the spirit. Ladina lo, ladina ne. Ladina lo, ladina lo.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but your love is a of the love for me. Oh, we worship you tonight. You have loved me with an everlasting love.
Oh, we thank you for loving us so much.
And with your love, you have brought me down.
We love to worship you, Lord.
We love
you. Oh, we love to worship you. Oh, we love to give you praise.
Oh, love you, Father.
Oh, you mean more than this word to us. Oh, you mean more than this word to us.
Hallelujah.
We worship you tonight. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Oh, we give you praise, oh.
You have great
is
love.
Thy faithfulness.
Oh,
great
is thy faithfulness.
Come on, jump in the sea.
Oh, great is thy faithfulness.
Oh,
great is thy faithfulness. Morning, my morning, new mercies I receive. All that I need, the
Corinthians 7, amen. 1 Corinthians 7, 25 and 10. Great is your mercy towards me. Your loving kindness
towards me.
Your tender mercy. Your loving kindness, can we have it all for me? Your tender mercy. Verse 25, King James Version.
Day.
Oh, hallelujah.
Forever.
I'm a many of you love Jesus? Amen. Glory to God.
Always providing for me. Where is your mercy? Love me. Where is your grace?
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, T.O.P. Thank you, Pastor G. God bless you. Amen. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight. Our hearts are open, our minds are alert. I declare that the spirit of understanding is upon us tonight. Let questions be answered. Let burdens be lifted. Let yokes be destroyed. Let miracles happen in this meeting. Relationship miracles, marital miracles, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, speak to everyone's heart in this service. Lord, I speak to every troubled home, every troubled relationship, every troubled marriage. At your word tonight, let peace be established. Let love be crowned king in the name of the Lord Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. As our custom is, we usually start from 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, the 25th verse, and the 10th verse. Amen. If you've been around, you should be used to the scriptures by now. Amen. And we bring word, we read the scriptures to lay foundation for both the singles and those who are married. This is Colors of Love, is a seminar for family life and relationship. Amen. There's no seminar to tell you how to love Jesus more. Amen. And there's no seminar to tell you how much Jesus loves you. But you see, we cannot talk about love without mentioning Jesus. How many of you know that? It's impossible. Amen. It's impossible. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. And we cannot define love outside the coverage of His word. Very important. We refuse to let the world define love for us. We refuse to let Hollywood define love for us. We refuse to let Nollywood, Bollywood define love for us. Like we said on Sunday, it's unfortunate. And all the woods, amen. Like we said on Sunday, it's unfortunate that most Christians have switched kingdoms, but they have not switched systems. We say there are two kinds of kingdom and there are two kinds of systems. We have the kingdom of light, which is the kingdom of Christ, or the kingdom of God and of His Son. And then we have the kingdom of darkness, ruled by Satan. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. We have the system of God's kingdom. Very important. You know, this should explain why many Christians are stranded in different areas of their life. This will explain why many Christians are trapped in different areas of their life. Some are relationally trapped. Some are financially trapped. Amen. Different areas. Why? Most likely, they switched kingdom without switched systems. And it is possible to move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son and still operate by the system of Babylon. Oh, is somebody listening to me tonight? That's very important. And as a believer, you cannot be naive about that. That is not just about switching kingdom, you must switch systems. There is the system of God's kingdom. And there is the system of Babylon. You know, for those of you that are Bible scholars, you will know about the dispensations we've had. I will talk about the dispensations, the dispensation of innocence. Amen. From the time Adam was created to the fall. We'll call it the dispensation of innocence. Then we'll also talk about the dispensation of conscience. Then we'll talk about the dispensation of human government. And when you get to Genesis chapter 6, you begin to see the corruption of the human race from and all that. And then God choosing a man called Noah. And then after Noah, a new breed of people emerged. Amen. And out of that, Satan also came. I told you that the Antichrist system is age long. When we talk about the Antichrist, three things must come to your mind, please. There is the system of the Antichrist, there is the spirit of the Antichrist, and there is the person of the Antichrist. The system of the Antichrist started operating from Genesis 4. Amen. The Antichrist system. Or let's say Genesis 5. The Bible says when the sons of men saw that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair and good to look upon. Those were the angels that lost their estate. They came down and began to have affairs with sons of men, and then we have the emergence of the Anakims, the Nephilims, the giants. Hallelujah. Somebody's wondering, am I in a Bible class? Glory to God. I'm trying to give perspective, very important, to what we're doing. Okay, and then there was an emergence of a man called Nimrod Cush, amen, who, in fact, the word, they began to set up a system. He was the king of Babel, amen. They began to set up a system to ensure that God doesn't beat them again with the flood. That was their system. And that was the rationale behind the building of the Tower of Babel. They didn't have things that high. So they thought to themselves, look, if we can beat it, we can get to where God is, number one. Number two, if anything like the flood comes, we'll be above it. In their foolishness. And then they began to create a system because they were inspired by Satan. And that again began to form what we know as the Babylonian system today. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to explain system. Do you know that the word, the concept of secular banking came out from there. The word interest came out from there, from that system. Do you know the original Hebrew of the word interest? It means venom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what we have as a Babylonian system of debts today, where people have their whole life in debts, especially in the Western world, that's where it came from. What I'm trying to prove is there has been a system of the Antichrist operational on the earth. And that your believer doesn't automatically exempt you from operating that system. You have to, by revelation, choose to operate God's system. Are you getting where I'm coming from now? By revelation, choose to operate God's system. So, relationship, romance, family, finance, education, everything. You must decide to operate God's system. So you did not just switch kingdom, you switch system. Tap your neighbor and ask them, have you switched systems? Hallelujah. A lot to talk about that. But our context tonight is relationship and family life. Hallelujah. But it's important you get the background. Is that okay? Now, if there are two systems, that means there is a way we operate our own system. There's a way we operate in our own kingdom. There's a system we operate. And we are not going to let Babylon define for us what love is, what romance is. How many of you hear me the wordings of that rap? He said, we don't need to take off our clothes to prove that we love ourselves. Amen. Or to have a good time. Thank you. He said, we don't need to take off our clothes to have a good time. You know, don't pretend. You've been watching Hollywood and Nollywood. You know that their definition of a good time, unconsciously, is when clothes are off. You've not noticed. And listen, you see, how many of you know that we're under visual assault right now as a generation? As a generation, we're under visual assault. We're under visual assault. Serious visual assault. Making you see what you don't want to see. And present is saying, and is, you see, when, if nothing is done, when the explosion comes, it will be deadly. Because you have children that can't concentrate. Let me tell you, when Satan is planning, he's not planning for you. You are plan B. His plan A is your children. Never forget that as long as you live. His plan A is the generation to come. So when we mention certain things, you have to pay attention and begin to find how God has positioned you to provide your own answer. Do you understand? You know, I went out with First Lady today, went somewhere to take snack, and there's no single, I told her, I said, there's no single video. There's no single music, what they call secular music video, that is not about sex. That is not about sex. For the time, we started for like 20 minutes. From one to all the videos that were played were about sex. I said I was right. I think it's coincidence. No. It's an attempt to attack God's system. Are you listening?
is an attempt to attack God's system. What's the connection between advertising a toothpaste and a woman in a bikini? What's the connection? A toothpaste. No, I'm trying to unveil Babylon to you so that you understand the context and the background we're coming from. So that some of you understand what is happening to you, because you don't even understand that there's a visual assault going on. There's a visual assault. What was the connection? Why? There's a plan. In secular advertising, they call it the law of neuroassociative conditioning. Is deliberate. Are you listening? Glory to God. So they are planning for your husbands and planning for your wife. Let me not go there. No, I want you to understand the seriousness of the matter. It's about mind control and controlling a generation. But we will rise with the understanding of God's word. There is a reason you must understand how our system operates. How does God want us to operate? When we talk about romantic relationship, marriage. Do you know till now there are people who go to church who believe that if they have not tested the water sexually, they can't marry a lady. And they say they are Christians. Yes. As in their feelings, they are right. So I'm not talking about mistake. As how will I know she's fruitful? Now, listen, you are laughing. This thing is happening. It's a mindset. They have refused to allow God's word renew their minds. I'm talking about people that go to church and I wonder if they are born again. I don't think they are born again. Are you listening to me? God's word is our final authority. The Bible calls the church the ground and the pillar of truth. Meaning concerning every issue, we are the only ones with heavenly accreditation to teach. That means what we mention leadership. The church is the only institution with the heavenly accreditation to define what leadership is. Somebody listen to me. When we talk about marriage and love, the church is the only institution with divine accreditation to teach what love and marriage is. When we talk about money and finance, the church is the only accredited institution. That's what it means. When he says the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. And listen, truth is not relative. Truth in this kingdom is absolute. There's no searching as relativity of truth. It's absolute. God's word is clear, direct. There's the expected way to do it. There's a prescribed way to do it. For those who are married, for those who are single. There's a template for choosing a life partner in the kingdom. There's a clear template on how to run a premarital relationship. There's a clear template on how to run a marriage, a home. A man is not a tiger at home. Not in God's word. Where as it's coming in, the children are taking off. Glory to God. Is somebody listening? The wife cannot talk. As she's talking, her mouth is shaking. Because the lion of the tribe of his people has come. She's shaking. As she's serving him. Why is that thing dirty? And then her hands are shaking. It's not in this kingdom. He said, let the husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself. Are you listening? And in this kingdom, woman in marriage is not Geneva Conference. You know Geneva Conference? Equality. gender equality fight. That's not kingdom. Do you understand? I say, you want us to relocate to Abuja? I have not agreed. I think we should stay. Is it not? Are we not equal in this house? Is equality? That's yours. That's here. I still need to be around for 2 years. That's what I tell you. When you're marrying a man, you should know what you're getting into. But God's word. Do you understand? It's absolute leadership. But the leadership of love. Do you understand? Glory to God. So it's not woman rights movement. So we are equal in this marriage. We are equal in this marriage. You are fighting God's will. Now, why am I saying all this? It's an attempt to show you that, look, in this kingdom, there is a perfect template on how we do love, how we do romance, premaritally, and in marriage. Is somebody following me? There's a perfect template. And that should be your concern. What does God's word say? What is on God's mind concerning this? What is in God's word concerning this? How does God relate with this? Are you following? Very important. All right, let's read our script. How many of you noticed that the graphics? Put it back. How many of you noticed Colors of Love, the graphics, the adverts? What do you see there? Bible on one hand, chocolate brothers. Are you seeing that? Are you inspired? All the time is Bible. Say, let's discuss the word. Sister, let's just pray. I have this body. Let's pray for 5 hours. Relationship, 6 months now. You have not bought chocolates. Somebody will soon start singing another chorus to your babe. All right, that's by the way, back to the scriptures. It's a singing chorus. The day I heard that, I laughed too. It was one of my friends. It's a Kai. Somehow God is like, somebody is singing chorus to my baby. He's singing another chorus. Glory to God. Is it now concerning virgins? Who are virgins? Who are virgins? Singles. Now concerning virgins, I have the commandment of the Lord, yet I have my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Concerning virgins that are single, I have the commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment. So we'll talk about commandments and judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord. I will say for virgins or for singles, there are gray areas. Amen. We have gray areas. We have a lot of gray areas. But yet, we have people that have obtained mercy. And they can bring clarity to those areas. Amen. Now go to verse 10 very quickly so that we can sail from there. We'll take it on. Please, I'll answer questions today. So I'm not going to talk so much, hopefully. Amen. So get your questions ready. You can start writing your questions. We'll start collecting them in the next 30 minutes. And unto the married I command, can you see? Yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband, and then you read down. But what I want to bring out there is, it says, to the virgins or to the singles, I have no commandment of the Lord, but I bring my judgment as one that has obtained mercy. Amen. But it says to the married, there's express commandments. Express commandment. Now, what do we usually deduct from this? That usually for singles, for premarital face of people's life, there are a lot of gray areas. Is that okay? I'm sure you can't open your Bible to see, and thou shalt marry Anna. Do you understand? For James shall be thy husband. Have you ever seen it in the Bible? Thou shalt be 25 years old as a man before thou marry. Have you ever seen in the Bible? Thou shalt be 20 years old or 23 years as a lady before thou marry. Is that in the Bible? Yeah, so a lot of questions, gray areas. But we said those that have obtained mercy of the Lord and running through the Bible can bring guidance. Is that okay? I can supply wisdom to guide us in that phase of our affairs. But for those that are married, there are express commandments. And I'm going to show you. Last session, the March edition, we started by talking on essentials for choosing life partner. How many of you remember that? We're talking about the three C's. Number one, core values. Number two, compatibility. Number three, chemistry. Amen. Hallelujah. Core values, compatibility, and chemistry. Now, if you're not around for the last one, get it. It's very important. The choice of a life partner can destroy a person. That's the truth. Can frustrate a person. You need to put more strength. You need to put a lot of effort to do the things you have done simply. Is that delicate? Are you following me? So it becomes very important. You pay attention to who you marry for those that are single. And we also said for those that are married, we brought up areas of adjustment. We said once you are married, there's no exit door. Amen. But there's a way to palliate, okay, and eventually if you have time to perfect it, but it's going to take time. And I gave you one key word, intercession. Amen. You remember that? How many of you remember that? For those that are married, you're married to the wrong person. No exit door in the kingdom. No exit door. And one of the sessions we talked about why the divorce rate in the Western world is so high and is beginning to encroach our country. And we'll talk about the power of mindset. That the moment you are going into a marriage thinking that there is a door called divorce, you have killed that marriage 50%. You know what I said? That marriage has been killed 50%. You just have only 50% left. Do you understand? And you agree with me that if you're writing an exam that is over 100 and they're taking 50 from you, you will struggle. Number one, you can't have an A. Number two, you cannot have a B. Do you understand? Number three, C is difficult. Because C is 50. Do you understand? C is difficult. So you can imagine the kind of marriage you turn to. When you go into with a thinking that if this thing doesn't work, there's divorce. Once there's that opening, once there's that reason, you have killed the marriage 50%. That's why I see people in their fourth marriages. The first I heard, I thought it was a joke, but it's real. There are people in their third marriages, people in their fourth marriages. And not because the other people are dead, though, they are still alive. The people that divorced are still alive and also marrying somewhere. What a life. So you see children having... How many siblings? How many step-siblings? Many, yes. I heard of a woman who had six children for in six different marriages. You understand? So you can imagine the first child has had like five stepdads. That's sad, don't you think so? But you see, there's a mindset that sponsors that. Let me tell you, on earth, Satan can never accomplish anything without propagating a mindset over time. Write it down. On earth, Satan cannot achieve anything in a community, in a nation, among a people, without propagating a mindset through time. When the Bible talks about strongholds, he's talking about ideologies, thinkings, belief systems, mindset. Those are the things that form strongholds for demons. Nothing. Satan cannot do anything en masse until he propagates a mindset over time. Now, you don't see why he tries to control the media. You don't see why he tries to control the movie industry. At the point, every movie that comes out has a gay scene. How many of you noticed that? It's deliberate. They are trying to push something on you. They are trying to prepare a ground so that when your children come, they can argue with you. You say, "Dad, they were born that way. Dad, that's just them. That's why are you being a cake? Why are you being a cake? Is there anything really wrong with it?" That's what they are planning for. Never forget, Satan is futuristic. He can plan for the fourth generation that is yet to come. And that is why we also must be strategic and futuristic. We must have generations to come in mind. Believers and the body of Christ lives for today too much. And then we also live for heaven too much. Do you understand me? They say Jesus is coming now. An average person thinks maybe Jesus may not come, maybe he may not have grandchildren or great grandchildren. Because Jesus may come before that. That's what he thinks. You know what that thinking does? It does not prepare for the fourth generation. He thinks that before we are 70, Jesus would have come. Before his eyes, he's 70, 80, he's dying. He's in heaven and Jesus has not come. Are you following me? I'm telling you the truth. That's been the problem with the church. So they are not thinking, what's going to happen to the generation that will be born 2050? He said, his head was just closed. Jesus would have come. Let me ask an honest question. For those of you that are in your 30s and 40s, imagine around 1993, thinking about 2020. Something happened. Is it 2020? That's too far. That's 20, honestly, for me. 2020 was far. It was good enough that we saw year 2000. You remember Y2K? Year 2000. Then to now be thinking of 2020, especially in the 90s. When I was a lad, was 2020. But news flash, in 2 years, we'll be in 2020. Are you listening? Strategic. Strategic. The Bible says, Levi paid tithe in the loins of Abraham. Hey! I can't forget that scripture. It means what I'm doing now affects the children in my loins. Glory to God. And you begin to think that life is about you. Why not allow you to have fun? Why can't you live the way you are living? You are childish. That's childish. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. So it's important who you marry. Go and go through those things again. It's very important who you marry. We also say this is a blessing to be single, and it's also a blessing to be married. Remember that? And we said that so that nobody comes under pressure. The moment you are under pressure, you are likely going to make the wrong decision. Never forget that. Never come under pressure. It's a blessing to be single. We also talked about our timetable, different timetables. How that we will not all marry early. I will not all marry late. Amen. Follow God's timetable for your life. You don't have mates. Follow God's timetable for your life. Is that okay? And extend it to those who are married. Listen, the Bible never talks about marrying the person you love. The Bible talks about loving the one you married. That's a rule. Loving the one you married. You know, there are people who are in... You know, I had to tell someone, I said, never let the devil lie to you, you married the right woman. I'll tell him again and again, another month, I'll tell him, I said, you married the right woman. I said, never let the devil lie to you, you married the right woman. You married the right woman. I kept telling him. Use love to decorate the person you married. Do you understand? Because once love is a capital. Once you inject into anything, the value increases. Do you understand? So it's not about the person is fat, the person is slim, the person is short. They are all those rubbish. Don't matter. Do you understand? Once you are in, listen. What you focus on, you can love. Do you understand? You love, the love multiplies itself. So you decorate the one you have married with what? With love. With love. If you follow your emotions, you have opened the gates. You soon end up in your sixth marriage. Because that one you are having fire for, the fire will soon go out. And that's the problem, emotional marriages. I said, why are you finding, I don't love him anymore. I don't love her anymore. What do you mean? Keep quiet. You don't love her anymore. Why? Somebody is getting her attention somewhere. Somebody is getting his attention somewhere. And you think, oh, this one is... Don't worry, that one too will soon be old. Is that not why you were feeling fire for this one then? And you did not allow her rest? Are you following? We are not designed to live by emotions. We're designed to live by the word of God. And I'm telling you what the word of God says. See, love the one you married. Let me drop this now before I go to the next thing. Marriage is a business transaction. So you have to be profit oriented. Do you understand? Does the person look like your future? I know some people will not like this. Is apart from it being God's institution, do you understand? You have to be some people are foolish. What are you looking for in this person? You have to see that, does this person fit to where you're going? Does his mindset, her ideology, her core values, does it fit where you're going? Are you following me? So you can't be foolish. No, he's nice. Nice, and he gives me money. If I were your older brother, I'll flog you with belt first. Nice, and he gives me money. Write it down, all the ladies here. Oh, nice is not enough. Let it be a slogan. Till you are married. Nice is not enough. Nice is not enough. Charming is not enough. Designer's perf is not enough. AC cool car is not enough. I know you are designed for comfort. Just be a little patient. That brother too will have money. Do you understand? Just be a little patient. You are designed for comfort. I know. And listen, as a guy, you must have a dream of giving your wife comfort. It must be your dream. Do you understand? Dream. As a dream. Do you understand? That one day, this woman must shop anywhere she wants in the world. Do you understand? I'm serious. So from the depth of my, I'm serious about what I'm saying. Have as a dream. You may start small, but you tell yourself, one day, this woman must shop anywhere in the world. Like I used to say, first lady. As a person, you close your eyes, point any direction. Just close your eyes and point. There will be a jet to take you there. Just close your eyes and point. They will look at the map. They say, does that look like Dubai or China? They will fly you there. Are you listening? Women are designed for comfort. Are you not seeing their body? Are you not seeing how they look? Is he as hard as your own? Glory to God. So I know you love comfort. But don't let the temporary thing, don't make decision based on temporary comfort. That's what I'm saying. Think deeper. Be business minded. What advantage do this person have for the kingdom of God? You are a partner with the ministry. You believe in partnership. You believe in tithe. You believe in giving. This person said, all this you're giving. You're marrying someone who does not believe in tithing, who does not believe in giving. It's all these pastors. They are tricking people to give. And then you say it's nice. You will shut your destiny. Be business minded. Glory to God. Be business minded. Don't be foolish. Be business minded. How does this person fit? It's not all about emotion. I fell in love. Keep quiet. Fall out of love. Say you fell in. Fall out. If it's not God's will. If it's not God's will, fall out of the love. Hello? Did you hear what I just said? As you fell into the love, you can fall out of the love. Know that. Very serious. Your emotions obey you. Do you understand? So I'm emotional about this guy already. You know it's not God's will. And you came for cancer. We told you, you can't marry this person. He said, but I'm in love. I've fallen in love. It's Hollywood trouble. It's true. We said, fall out of the love. Stand in front of the mirror and say, babe, fall out of this love. Fall out. Glory to God. Now, let me say this at this point. Women are born with follow-come intuition. No woman marries a wrong man without knowing. But she refuses to tell herself the truth. No woman. She will know. A week to the wedding, she will know. But when you refuse, what am I saying? When you refuse to tell yourself the truth. And one of the reasons they don't tell themselves the truth is because that love thing. I'm already emotionally involved. Who told you? When you know that you can fall out of love, you won't stay in. Hallelujah. All right, let's get into today's breaking abusive and ungodly relationship. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 to 30. And you know the context is relationship of that Matthew 5 from verse 28. So put it up for me. We'll read it up. Breaking abusive and ungodly relationship. What are abusive relationship? Okay, relationship that go out of the boundary of God's love, out of the boundary of love and respect, of love and mutual respect. A relationship where the guy is physically abusing the lady is an abusive relationship. Slaps the lady, okay, hits her, do you understand? It's an abusive relationship. Is that okay? So we talk about physical abuse, and there's also emotional abuse, which is terrible. It's also, whether physical abuse or emotional abuse, it has to be broken. It has to be broken. So when it's outside the confines of the foundation of love, you took that confession on love. So when a guy or a lady is not practicing that on you, you know it's outside the confines of the love. Physical abuse, emotional abuse, basically those are two, emotional and psychological abuse. Okay, those are the two primary ones. Now, a guy knows that, I saw this while in school, a guy knows that the lady is so into her, their relationship, okay, he's domineering, all right, and then hangs around or dates other ladies to insult her. You know, these things happen. Some of you, you're smarter, you're wondering, so what is she still doing there? I asked the same question too. But some ladies were still there. Until the iniquity of the Amorites was full. Glory to God. Emotional abuse. Emotional abuse, hanging out with another lady, and then you see in a relationship with this person, and for 1 month you didn't call her, you didn't call him. You don't pick up, you don't return the call. Do you understand? So I'm sorry, and then you are receiving hope from somewhere else. The person, the friends have told her about this. Do you understand? Those things happen. You see, anything you do, am I making sense to you? I'm talking about emotional abuse. It happens. World. And that's why we tell people, please, if you don't really love the person, don't waste time. Give space so that another person can pack. Do you understand? Don't do like this. I don't really like Asha. I'm just hanging around. You are foolish. Go and look for the person you really like. And leave her alone. And no sympathy. Do you understand? Don't do sympathy. Yeah, she used to send me school fees. So. There are marriages that happen like that. That are based like that. The lady was doing business. Okay, so that he could go to school. He went to school. He has graduated. He said, I have to marry this lady as compensation. Don't do like that. Maybe one of these colors of love I'll teach on wrong reasons to get married. It will help those that are single. Is that okay? Are you learning something from there? All right. Handling abusive relationship. All right. Never forget, it's better to have a broken, cultural relationship than a broken marriage. I've said that. Never forget this also. When you force anything to happen against God's word, you produce an Ishmael. And to always be a thorn in your flesh. Ishmael will always be a thorn in your flesh. A thorn in your flesh. Is that okay? Now we'll talk about communication in marriage and conflict resolution. I'll just give basic principles and then I'll take questions. Then next month, our major on communication and conflict resolution. And then with some other things. You know, colors of love, we say some other things. Then the questions balances it. That means there are things we don't talk about. We didn't talk about in the talk that we'll talk about because of the questions. Is that okay? That means there's always something for someone. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. So never force anything to happen. Let the word of God produce. Always. Isaac is a child of promise, meaning Isaac came because of the word that went forth. always insist that your results is coming from the word of God. You understand? That lady is the word of God. As in, there's a word. That's the word producing. That guy is the word that brought him. Do you understand? That's my story. Or that's my testimony. Do you understand? When you know that this relationship, the word brought it forth. You are not forcing something to happen. The word of God brought it forth. Not forcing something to happen. Never forget, when you force anything to happen outside of the word of God, what do you get? Ishmael. And it smells. Is a thorn in your flesh. Ishmael. Do you know up to now, Ishmael is a thorn in our flesh? Who knows that coding prophetically? Ishmael is a thorn in our flesh. He that has an ear, let him hear. What a spirit. You know Ishmael? Do you know Ishmael? Are they turning our flesh now or not? Everywhere. The greatest problem the world has currently came from Ishmael. Producing result by the flesh. Don't force things to happen. This guy is double dating and you are saying I'm his wife. The eyes. You are laughing. This year I've counseled two people like that. Two. One told me, but she's convinced that the Lord told her that that's her husband. As I'm telling you that that's not your husband. Let me tell you, please don't do those spiritual things. So God has kept basic rules to guide us. You know, there are people that are hyper-spiritual, in quotes. They say, I know, Pastor, I've heard about this, another lady and all that, but we're talking about it. The Lord told me he's my husband. I prayed about it. I've had confirmations. Madam, this guy is in a relationship with another person, or double dating, and you are saying the Lord told you why you were there, and you knew about it, you confronted, you say yes. I said, but the Lord told you, and he has not even repented. Do you understand? I said, the Lord told you that's your husband. You have gone, you know, something has, you are going off. You understand? Something is happening, Let me tell you, you know, relationship and emotional issues are delicate things, They can affect people mentally and never get there. That's why I tell you, never get obsessed with anybody. Please don't open your soul to anybody until there's a ring in the hand. You hear what I say? Don't give open your soul to anybody. Be nice. Love. Is love hard for you to love? Love is not hard now. Love. But don't open your soul. That place where you are engrossed. And when something happens, it now takes time. One guy was ready to go and kill himself. He said they should leave him. Say, go leave him. Go and kill yourself. He said he wants to kill himself. Guy. That comedy, right? Hallelujah. Have you been blessed tonight? All right, let's take some questions quickly. We're out of time. All right, great. Oh, I love this question. How do you deal with, or what is the way out of chronic masturbation? Amen. Now, what is masturbation? Masturbation is somebody stimulating himself to have sexual satisfaction. That's what masturbation is. All right. Is it godly? Is it not godly? Do you understand? What's the answer? Our stand is, it's not godly. Because masturbation is selfishness. Do you understand? It's about you. Do you understand? It's self-worship. It's self-exaltation. Are you listening? Self-satisfaction is self-centeredness. Do you understand? Are you following me? And can it be dealt with or not? Yes. The first place to start is the same principle with breaking any habits. The first place to start is to have the correct image of yourself in Christ. That's the first. You know, it sounds simple, but that is the basic. Without that, every attempt, I told you on Sunday, when Adam and Eve tried to solve their sin problem, what did they do? Itching. More discomfort. They used fig leaves. Fig leaves itch. So every attempt to deal with sin by personal effort will cause more discomfort. The first thing is your perception of yourself by God. What does God's word say? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation. Do you understand? No habit has the power to keep you bound. No way. He said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. So you can write those scriptures and confess them to yourself and declare them to yourself. The second thing is learning how to strengthen your will. Hey, yeah. You know, this is all separate mature from baby. Learning how to strengthen. And that's what the word of God and prayer does for you. You know, when you come to us, I will not do this and you don't do it. You know, that's all the signs of Christian maturity. When you know, when you have a strengthened will, you say, I don't do that. I will not do that. And then you don't do it. Why? The word of God has built your willpower. Are you listening? Most Christians that compromise, that do this, is that thing. This thing I just talked about. Letting the word of God build your willpower. As you want to say, I'm not going to do that, and I don't do it. And it's not just by boning face and saying it. There is the structuring of your personality. Do you understand? There's the building of your personality, the character of your personality. It happens over time as you use the word of God to build yourself up. And as you have fellowship with God, you see that you have a strong will. You can say, I will not do this, and you will not do it. I will not do it, and you will not do it. Doesn't mean you will not be tempted. At the beginning, yes. But with time, you know, temptation is something you are attracted to. But if you are not attracted to it, it's no more a temptation. Do you understand? Do you understand? I'm not attracted to a man, so I cannot be tempted by a man. Do you understand?
It's your strong muscles, and this is your BS. I beg, come up for road.
Do you understand? So as you use the word of God over time, it disconnects you from it. That's as they begin, the temptation to come. But over time, you are so disconnected, it's no more a temptation. Do you understand? So that's how to deal with it. The word of God. You don't say, oh Lord, help me. No, no. Know that it's going to take a little time. And this is what to use. You use the word of God. The same thing, if you have attraction to the same sex, it's the same thing. Don't accept it as your configuration. Do you understand? You're a guy, maybe you were abused as a child, and you see yourself getting attracted, or men approach you and those things happen. I've had to counsel people about that. Or you're a lady and those things happen, and then you're attracted to ladies and, you know, those things. Don't accept it.
One guy plugged a guy in the hostel. You know, plug. The guy was touching him fully. I carry plug. Broke his head. He said he was a bad. Plank. Praise God. I'm sure I did justice to that question. All right. Is it right for a teenager to get into a relationship? And what is the difference between love and like? Yeah, he's a teenager that wrote this. Glory to God. No, it's not his handwriting now. Why are people hacking my bro like this now? I know his handwriting, it was not the one that wrote it. Alright. Hallelujah. Is it right for a teenager to get into a relationship? Alright, let me say something. Please, can we package our offerings? Can we package our offerings quickly? Very quickly. We'll give our offerings now. Package your offerings very quickly. Where are the protocol guys going? Okay, they want to carry. Package your offerings. If you are giving your tithe, just come out. If you are giving your tithe, just come out. Your tithe is 10% of all of God's blessings on you. Eno will take this way. Please, very quickly, if you are giving your tithe, come forward quickly. The rest of us, package a worthy offering for the Lord. Don't drop Kekena Pep change. Amen. Your tithe is 10% of all of the blessings of the Lord.
Your tithe is a spiritual law that you practice. Please, can people stop going out? Why are people going out? What's the problem? What's the problem? Ushers, Ima, what are you guys doing there? Please call those outside to come in. Deacon Freeborn, please could you address those outside to come in? They should come in. Nobody compels anybody. Even if you don't have offering, get it another time. Give your tithe. Prepare for it another time. Amen. Don't go out like that. Could you raise your tithe and worship the Lord with it? That's what we do with our tithe. We worship the Lord with it. We worship the Lord. Father, we worship you. Thank you for being our help. Thank you for being our source. Thank you for being our supply. You have blessed us so much. What a good God you are. Our mouth cannot stop talking about your faithfulness and your mercy. Thank you. We decree and declare that this is the least we will ever be. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The wealth of the wicked are finding their ways to our hands. In this season, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. We receive your tithe. God bless you. We receive your tithe. God bless you. Thank you. We receive your tithe. We receive your tithe. God bless you. God bless you. We receive your tithe. Your offerings, please. Can you raise your offering? Can we just stand briefly in honor of his presence? Just raise your offering up. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you. You have blessed us indeed, and we honor you. Tonight, we honor you with our substance. Tonight, we acknowledge that you are source. We declare that this is the least we will ever be. We declare that money will always meet money in our hands. We will always have more than enough to give to every good work. In the name of Jesus. Poverty, the blood of Jesus is against you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this is what we're going to do. You can stand for a while. The offering, the basket will pass by. Okay, please, can we have multiple ushers? Can we have multiple baskets? Multiple, so that we can finish on time. Once you give your offerings, you can take your seats. Okay. But if you have not given, keep standing. Once you give, take your seats. Once you give, take your seats. Hallelujah. What was the young man's question again? Is he okay, a teenager to be in a relationship? What's the difference between love and like? Amazing question. Amen. Hallelujah. Do I have your attention? Can we continue with answering the questions? Number one, remember we read verse 25 of that scripture. It says, concerning singles, I have no commandment from the Lord, but I judge as one that has obtained mercy. The first question I want to ask you is, what is the vision for your life? What is the vision for your life? What's the vision for your life? That's the first question you must answer as a teenager. I read a book as a young teenager that helped me so much. Living with Unfulfilled Desires by Walter Trubbish. I read it at 15. And oh boy, that book helped me. Living with Unfulfilled Desires, My Beautiful Feelings, Love is a Feeling to be Learned. These are different books. Amen. My dad introduced me to the materials, amen. And the idea behind the living with unfulfilled desires is this simple term. The desires are there. You learn how to live with them unfulfilled. Do you understand? And then with a lot of wisdom, exposition and all that, great. So here's the question. What is your vision for your life? What is God's vision for your life? What do you want to do with your life? Number one. Then number two, when do you want to get married? If you're a teenager, let's assume you are 17 and you are a guy. And listen, all of you here, all of you teenager, look at me. All of you, I'm looking at your faces. Don't forget about romance and love. Are you listening? Forget about romance and love. Forget. Do you hear the word I use? Forget about it. It's for your own good. And let me put it this way. Is it because you don't have the ability to be involved in romance and all that? No. But listen, there are many things you have the ability to do, but you are not supposed to do it, and you don't do it. For example, your parents sent you to school. You're at 100 level, you're at 200 level. Do you know you have the ability to go work?
Yes.
To go and work and make a living. But it says that in this phase of your life, you are not going to work. You are going to school to learn. It's not because you don't have the ability to go and work. Do you understand? There is time for everything. And in this phase of your life, it's time to learn. It's time for self-discovery. It's time for God discovery. It's time to discover God and discover yourself. So you don't have any business. You don't have any business, and you won't die. Nothing will happen to you. In fact, you likely be more successful as a person than your mates who are testing the waters. You likely be more successful. I'm telling you the truth. Because there is focus. Do you understand? You are focused. You are not distracted. You are discovering God and are discovering yourself. Is that okay? So it's not about yes and no. But my personal prescription, you don't have any business trying to do a relationship. Okay. Love people from afar and live as clique. Do you understand? One of the things that the guy prescribed them was having clique of friends. When you are going out, you go out as clique. Okay, you have people that are your friends and nobody has special attention. Do you understand? No lady has special attention. Or no guy has special attention from you as a teenager. Do you understand? Do you understand? When you cross 20, then we can now begin to think about, okay, what? In fact, there are people that I give a ban to until they are 22. And it's true. Especially for guys. You know, don't say it cannot be done. It can be done. You are looking at a man who did it. Standing here. Do you understand? Glory to God. When we're in 100 level, I told myself there's no relationship until I got to 500 level, until I'm in 500 level. I was deliberate. Do you understand? I had fine girls around me, amen. You know I'm not ugly. Glory to God. I've been fine since, from secondary school. Glory to God. They were after my life, amen. In secondary school, Miss College wrote me a letter, amen. I said the anointing. But my head was full with physics and chemistry. I did not see her. Honestly, my head was filled with physics and chemistry. Glory to God. And then those materials, I told you about those water rubbish books. I don't know if they are still in the markets and all that. They really helped me. They gave me a perspective. So in my heart, I was convinced I had no business relationship until maybe in my early 20s. But it happened that my first relationship, I was 25. Yes, glory to God. Do you understand? Yes, and it's good for everybody. It's good for everybody. So it's not hard. It's not because I didn't have female attention. Do you understand? And I know people here and there. Okay, ladies too. I know a lady. She's married to a friend of mine. Okay, she's in the U.S. now. Her first relationship, she was like 25. I asked her one day, we're in the same class. I said, you are not in a relationship. I said, there's no need to do these things until you are ready. You know, later he told me that when she was a 400 level, God showed her that that's her husband. And the guy did not come till 2 years. He eventually came and they got married. So that's simple. Do you understand? Simple. Relationship less than 1 year, they were married. Do you understand? Life is simple that way. Glory to God. So I'm being very honest with you. I'm being very honest with you. It can be done. Listen, we are creatures of focus. When your mind is on something, when you are really passionate about something, it's really going to get you busy. Do you understand? I wanted anointing. Oh God. We are creatures of focus. So once your eyes, that's what I talk about discovering God's plan for your life. Once your eyes are on them, it's going to get you really, really, really busy. Until you sense in your heart that it's time. Is that okay? So there is no time in the Bible, but I'm just giving you judgment as one that has obtained mercy. All right, a lady that does not call or text and does not return your calls, your missed calls, and does not visit you, does she love you? Is it okay for a single to marry a widow with one child? Okay. Let me answer the second one. Yes. Uncle David, you come answer some questions for me now. I'm serious. You come answer. You come answer. Celebrate it. Amen. You can sit. Hallelujah. Let me answer the first. Where's the question? I still need to hold it until I'm done. Okay, let me answer the second one. Is it okay for a single guy to marry a widow one child? There's nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. Once we have the other things in view, you know, we talked about how to choose a life partner, right? You remember that, right? You have those things in perspective. Okay, you have them in mind. Does she fit into the category of people you can marry? Number one. Then, you know, we spoke ultimately that ultimate thing is the leading of the Spirit. Which most times, which all the time is consistent with the principles of God's word. Is that okay? So, does it fit? There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Now, hope you know that Dave Mayer, Joyce Mayer's husband, married her with a child. I think a child or so. I think it's a child. Her life was messed up. And David was looking for a lady whose life was messed up to help. Specifically, as a single guy was praying, he said, Lord, I want a lady whose life is messed up. To help. So he saw Joyce. Life messed up. Had a child for a guy who left her. Very messed up life. Do you understand? Hope you know that. You know, this is what I talk about. It's the word of God. Hope you know that Joyce Mayer, as a preacher, was still smoking.
Yeah. She go and smoke.
She'll go and do Bible study. She'll just take excuse, go and hide, and come back. She kept confessing God's word until the habit was broken. That's why you should not let any habit render you ineffective. Do you understand? Yes, just me, it's true. Can I shock you? Papa Copeland. Papa Copeland was still smoking.
On top of his car, like.
That is. He said you put the cigarette there. And then you open to Romans 6, verse 12. He said, for sin shall not. He said, when he got the victory, they pack. It's not about throwing away the pack. If it's there, you go and get it back. It's about killing the thing from within. You understand? He said, when he had dealt with it for long, he didn't remember. He said, until that pack decayed in that place. The last pack, and eternally. He couldn't smoke again. He couldn't. Why? The process was complete on the inside. You understand? It was complete from the inside. So it's possible. A lady that does not call or text, does not return your calls, and does not visit you, does she love you? She doesn't love you now. Do you need explanation? Your redemption is far. I beg. Stop studying like secondary school. Are you in gestry? Wake up. Your redemption is far. Your redemption is far. Please, sir, how can a brother in church start up a relationship with his sister in church? I think it's just sister. Somebody is seeing visions. Shagaba.
You know, the more
I suspect you. I'm just joking. This guy is too smart for that. He can find his way. I'm just joking.
You know, the moment you begin to bring it into church parlance, a lot of us have grown up religious. So at the end of the day, we don't even know how to make friends with people because of the religious connotation we have. You understand? You see, you need to know what the faith is different from what religion is.
Yeah.
You see, religion is what puts us in stereotypes.
Yeah.
You understand? But faith, you know what? Against such, there is no law. You know, so the first thing I like to say to you is that you must have a first, you must know yourself as a person first, because that's what gives you an edge in any relationship. I tell people that the basis for friendship is self-knowledge. If you don't know yourself, what's the point of having a friend?
Yeah.
Because the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So it's an agreement. Friendship is an agreement. Friendship is an association. But you see, no association is supposed to be without meaning. I used to tell my guys when we were back on campus, I tell them, never stand before beauty without purpose. If you want to see a stupid man, just stand, see a man who stands before beauty without a purpose. And I'm saying, I'm not saying know your personal purpose. That's a dimension. But I'm saying always have a purpose. Do you understand? And you see, the thing about purpose, the word purpose is not a selfish word. Purpose is always outward. It always is, just like you said about David Mayer. You see, it's always reaching out. But most times what I see people, I wrote something today about self-love and selfishness. You see, the difference between them, they look like, because self is involved. You see, self-love says it's all about me. Or selfishness rather says it's all about me. Everybody should give to me. You know, self-love means I love myself enough to give to, I'm a gift to my world. So that's how you should see yourself. If you have not determined this, nobody will want to be your friend. You see, the Bible says he who wants to be a friend should show himself friendly. The way you show yourself friendly is not to go around just becoming a jester. You may become the person that every sister avoids. What you want to do is you invest in self-love. It's scriptural. You love yourself. That's the same measure with which you can love any other person. So focus on your self-love. Be a purposeful person at yourself, so that every time you meet somebody, there's something you are giving out to the person, not something to receive. Then you find out that more people, he said a lot of people were on his case. It wasn't because, even if he were not a fine man, and I'm not saying he's not a fine man, but I say even if he's not a fine man, if he's somebody who gives, and you know, is a giver, everybody wants to be your friend. So instead of you beginning to say, I want to date a girl, find out, what do I have to give to her? What problem can I solve for her? What problem can I solve, not just for her, for every other person around you, and you will have
thank
more
you,
friends.
Thank you. Celebrate him. Sir, what should a lady do when she's beginning to grow to love a guy who isn't it? And she define it. I mean, he's on fire, kingdom-minded, business-oriented, etc. But he's not the kind of man you envision yourself with. So, what do you want to do? Well, there are two ways to approach this. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, you must first know how to hear God on other issues before it comes, before you talk about hearing God on the issues of relationship. And that is very important. If you have not settled that, you are going to be emotional all the way. Amen. You are going to be emotional all the way. Now, God speaks to you. Don't forget that God is interested in this relationship area more than you can ever be. So God is interested in it. Now, why did I say that? Sometimes you may have envisioned someone. There's nothing wrong with that. We dealt with that in the previous episodes. You may have envisioned, your dream man, your perfect man. But along the line, as you begin to walk with God, it's very possible that God will bring someone your way who did not tick everything physically, educational, family pedigree, and the other things. But in your heart, you have a witness that there's something about this guy. Even though I wanted a tall guy and he's not tall, even though I wanted a dark guy and he's fair, there's something about this guy. So you subject it to the voice of the Spirit. You subject it to the guidance and the leading of the Spirit. God may speak to you. But as you do that, don't get involved emotionally. I think I talked about that earlier. That don't open your soul up to people. For me, don't open your soul till you're married. You understand? Till you're married. Or at least till you are courting, till there's an engagement and all that. Not sitting there envisioning yourself, you are lost in thought, you are, oh God. Do you understand? Don't do that. Is that okay? That's the balance. This is long. First of all, I want to appreciate you for the opportunity to ask my questions, which are, number one, Okay, Lagaba, this is your question. Alright, is making out with your boyfriend or fiancé a sin? Example, kissing, cuddling, without sex, literally, without literal sex, is he a sin? Okay. Is there anything wrong? Okay, hold on now. Is there anything wrong with me if I don't like the male company? Or let's say I can't imagine myself living with a man like forever. Do I have a problem? Okay. Number three, is being a single mom
There's a mindset being communicated here. All right, is being a single mom a sin or a crime? Please, you can just
you know
the
what?
First one.
The mere fact that you are questioning it begins to tell you that something is wrong here. And I'm not saying the things you question are wrong.
Yeah.
It's good. Questions are good for clarity, you know. But let me take the last question. Just like Pastor said, it's a mindset. You must be able to guard your influences, the influences that come on your mind. You know, this kind of question in a few years ago, it cannot feature in a question and answer like this, you know. But you see, the point is, we are being bombarded. Pastor has said everything that, you know, is you must create a guard around your mind. Whoever wrote that question, know that you are under the peripheral attack of the enemy. You understand? That's the truth. Because it wasn't determined. However, let me even say it just, you know, socially. Any children who are raised by a single parent, usually, most of the times, turn out somehow dysfunctional. It takes a strong grace of God. Most of those kind of people, if they are not in good churches, they end up misbehaving around the place. So it's something you don't want to influence the next generation. Like Pastor said, we need to safeguard the next generation. All right? And then the first two questions, you know, the very thought of it. You see, I want to start a fire. All right? I want to make a fire. All right? Okay, I don't want, and then I have my matches and combustible material. The truth is that I can't stop fire from lighting up by using combustible materials. I always say to people, you see, the things that are not known, ignorance is blissful. It's very blissful. If you don't know, just leave it and don't know. Do you understand? Because there are prescriptions from scripture for even people who are married and are still young. It encourages you to get back into the marriage game, whether you're a lady or something. You know, so it's not an area that you just want to go around and play with. Do you understand? I always encourage, spend your time, if you are in a courtship, spend your time sharing solical issues, spiritual issues. Deal with those. There are too many issues in that regard than to get into the third realm.
Wow, hallelujah. Okay, is anything wrong with me if I don't like male company? Or let's say, you know, it's connected to the third. And it's a mindset. You got it from somewhere. You got it from somewhere. And you have to deal with it. At the beginning of this session, I told you about our standard. I told you about switching kingdoms and switching systems. I told you about the Babylonian system and God's system. I told you about how that the church is the ground and the pillar of truth. Meaning, by God's word, we define what love is. We define what marriage is, what family is. So we have a reference point, which is the word of God. And when we get into God's word, the Bible says, in the beginning, He created them male and female. Now, if you say, I don't have desire to get married, it's different. You understand? I don't have the desire to get married, okay, to have sexual companionship, okay, marital companionship at all. It's different. Because I want to serve the Lord or because it's my decision, is different. And the Bible is clear about that. If you do that, it means you are going to stay out of sexual immorality, number one. But to think that, look, I would like to get married and to get what I want. Number two is connected to number three. Get a child. You know, there was a story you gave here about the lady who was saying, he wants to get a child for you. He wants to have a child for you. You understand? And I've met people like that. I'm not surprised. I've answered these questions before. It is antichrist. It's not godly. And there's something generic I want you to deal with. If you want us to talk after now, you can come. We'll talk about that. It's likely an experience in the past. Or visual assault. You caught the mindset from somewhere. You did not grow up like that yourself. That's what I'm saying. Hallelujah. What happens when a man's faith is under sanitization or something? Okay, scrutinization. Okay. Months to a wedding, a couple goes for a blood test, okay, and discovers they are both, okay, they say A positive. Okay, it's AS, the person wanted to write. Okay, AS. The lady has faith, that all will be fine and not going to be an issue during the marriage. The man with little or no faith at all says they have to believe God for a change in the DNA. The argument has caused a shift in the wedding date. This is serious, so please don't laugh. Okay. Even threatening to end the relationship. Is this a sign from God towards exposing who the man really is? Okay. Okay. He's a pastor presently and preaches in a church. He decides no longer to get married until God changes this genetically and his attitude is different than before. Amen. It's touching. Amen. Now, you can trivialize this. You don't understand what it means until you are involved. All right. So, don't even laugh about it. Don't even laugh about it. Now, there are two ways to approach this. I'm a medical doctor. Okay. And I'm also a man of faith. Amen. Not just a preacher. I'm a man of faith. I'm an advocate of the supernatural. A strong advocate of the supernatural. But here's the point. You see, faith is not presumption. Faith is not foolishness. Faith is not assuming. Faith is not a leap to the dark. Faith is falling on a definite word from God. Faith cannot fail because you knew it had worked before you engaged it. Do you understand? So, you know, a lot of people don't understand what faith really is. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you see, you must understand the level of faith you are. And make decisions like this based on the level of faith you are. Meaning, don't enter into the marriage with assumption. Thinking that our people of faith were told that anything is possible, let's just marry. You'll be shocked. That's number one. Number two, don't criticize the man because of his level of faith. Do not criticize the man because of his level of faith. He can grow some days. Maybe then you may not be the one. Amen. Do you understand? Okay. So, there's nothing to get personal about. Okay. That's his level of faith. He's not playing you. And I don't think he's God trying to expose the kind of man he is. He's just voicing his faith. He's scared. He doesn't have faith for it. So what he's saying is, let the faith work now. Let the thing change now before we get married. Do you understand? If I was ever in that kind of situation, I'll go ahead and get married. I'm different. Do you understand? And most likely, the genotype will change before the wedding. Do you understand? But see, the accounts that we give as pastors, and we say, please, let the faith work first before the marriage. Let the faith work before you get into the marriage. If you are saying you are in faith, let the genotype change before you get into marriage. So, no, there's nothing wrong with the man, and that's not God exposing him. And please don't take it personal. Okay, that's his level of faith. Okay, that's level of faith. And it takes two to make it work. And there's no just one person for you, so don't just get frustrated because the person is not available. Amen. Is it possible to marry a girl? Is it possible to marry a girl that you... Okay, so marry a girl, you're a virgin and she's not. Okay, so marry a girl if you are a virgin and she's not. Of course now. Oh boy, you didn't look for... Okay. A draw match. All right. Okay, you are a virgin as a guy, and she's not. It's your choice now. God does not force. Do you understand? It's your choice now. There are people that are not comfortable with this. When they are in a relationship, and the person says she's not anymore a virgin, they draw back and all that. But for me, I think that's a little foolish. Amen. And I have my reasons. But if it's your decision, I don't think it's even foolish. It is your decision. But it's your personal decision. But biblically, there's nothing wrong with it. People get born again. Do you understand? What's important is, has the girl undergone transformation in her soul? Do you understand? Has the girl undergone, by research and at least 60% of church girls are no more virgins before they got married. You understand? I think somebody gives 70%, 75%. Do you understand? Of church girls are no more virgins before they got married. And I've told you before about the generation we live in. We are more exposed than our fathers and forefathers. I told you about visual assaults earlier. Do you understand? A lot of exposure. In those days, if you're in a relationship with a lady, you meet in church. or when the lady visits you, the door is wide open. Do you understand? The windows are open, the door is open. They are neighbors to protect you. Do you understand? Now, self, let's say somebody can break into your door if your door is covered. Well, we live in a more complex society. So you notice that single people spend more time alone now than it was in the 80s and 90s. And that's why you have to be smart. Do you understand? We have said it again and again. We do not advocate premarital sex. We don't. And that's why he answered the way he did about kissing. Starting a fire you cannot quench. Do you understand? We do not. If you have made a mistake, okay, you lost your virginity and all that, God is faithful. God never holds it against you. Do you understand? In the realm of the spirit, once you are born again, it doesn't mean anything. Do you understand? To the man is a choice. Do you understand? To the man is a choice. Then the blood of Jesus is in vain now, if it's, do you understand? So it's a choice. If you want virgin, what is house hour for? May God grant you. I say, hey, may God grant you. Okay, your heart desire. Okay, but if the person is God to you for you, you figure out the lady is a changed person. She's not promiscuous. And it was because of her past. Please, don't dump her because of that. Hallelujah. Sir, you mentioned that you shouldn't marry a person that shares similar mentality. What happens in a situation where the person is on a growth path and is reasonable to wait? Just say something.
Nobody ever is at his destination. We are all work in progress. So the point remains that if you understand that as a person, you will met out the same over the person you are to do the same measure to the person you are in a relationship with. Sometimes it's the guy, like Bimbo Adukoya will tell you that the first man she wanted to marry, you know, was like a president on campus, a gym brother. But you know, she didn't eventually marry him. He was almost abusive in the relationship, just because she felt that, okay, this man knows more than I do, and all of that. So you see, the point is that and then her husband, who she eventually married, you know, he was coming up basically, you know, and she ended up marrying him, but he was the one that eventually mentored her to doing the ministry she was doing. So you see, against such things, there's no law. You know, so but you just deal with people like you would deal with yourself. You know.
All right. Here's the balance to that. Let me just add to what he said. You know, there's a difference between cooked mindsets that people are unwilling to change. And you have to take before you go and say, he doesn't believe in tithing, but he will grow. We can't judge anybody. You understand? We're talking about the one we speak against is when you have crystallized mindset that people are unwilling to deal with and it doesn't look like yours. Don't do it. But we gave a balance. Like you said, people are teachable. Okay. The person is ready to grow. The person is teachable. Come on. But again, seek counsel from authority figures. I keep saying it. In the matters of relationship and marriage, don't be alone. Don't make decisions just by yourself. Get people ahead of you involved. It helps a lot. A relationship where both parties are Christians and born again, but not from the same church, and the girl's parent holds onto that as being equally yoked with an unbeliever. What should be done? Well, we had a similar case before. A friend of mine, that one was, I think it was tribal. They were even in the same church, but tribe. Tribe caused a problem. You're already having issues with in-law parental acceptance. Okay, let's call it that way. When you seek God's face, He will let you know whether it's His will or not. If that lady is God's will for you, you have the support of mentors, pastors, those that you believe in, subject it to time. Pray about it. Seek wisdom. What did I call it? Wisdom. Sometimes God will speak to you to go and talk to someone that the woman listens to. And then you speak to the man, open up to the person will call the woman. These things happen. Madam Susan, so how are you doing? Thank you, sir. I heard this and this has happened. Let's talk. And the woman sits down to talk with the man and then she's convinced. Do you understand? So you pray a lot about it and seek for divine wisdom. Divine wisdom doesn't mean God is going to do everything. You may receive instruction to call someone, to share with someone. Do you understand? And to get someone involved. And you see God stepping in. Do you understand? But if there is so much resistance and it's over time, God is trying to say something to you. It shouldn't last for so long. Did you hear what I just said? It shouldn't last for so long. If the resistance is so much, and again, I've seen this happen around me. Okay. Resistance is so much. Girls' parents are saying this. You are from another church. You believe this. You are from another tribe. Give it time. The other side to it is risky. If you believe really, really, this is God, and the people are being unreasonable, very unreasonable, they are not listening to their own pastor self. It happens. Some change church, they say the pastor is supporting the man that is coming to marry their daughter. And all that. Well, under some special guidance and counsel, you can go ahead and get married. Okay, but it's very risky, and other factors have to play. Other people have to be in the picture. You can't run off. You understand? So go marry in America. Do you understand? And that was disrespectful. Okay. So I'd like to know if it is all right for a lady to tell the man that she's in a relationship with about other men that are trying to get her attention. Okay. Is it right? All right. This is what we'll do. We're going to keep some questions till next session. I will log them up. Is that okay? Confidential, so that we can close the service. Is that okay? So we'll take the last question. Good evening, sir. You've said so many things about core values. And this person has it. He's a lover of God. But his communication level is low when he's distant. And you are not of the same tribe. But you have a feeling your parents will counter it. But his parents already like you. I know this person. What do you think? By the prophetic. Shagavaladavaya. There's a lady, you are sitting to this side. I'm just joking. But I know the person. From my heart. Prophetically. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Talk to your pastor about it after now. She's laughing and she's looking at me. All right. Talk to your pastor about it. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed tonight? Please, these are confidential documents, so pack them straight to my office and fold them. Yeah, but you still pack them. Have you been blessed tonight? Yes, sir. Welcome to the Embassy of Heaven. Wow. Amen. We meet here every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Next Tuesday, we'll continue our teaching on the book of Hebrews. Yes. Amen. We couldn't continue because of colors of love. You can't miss it for anything. On Sunday, we'll continue on the blood, our Passover, and our takeover. Amen. We'll share some very, very serious things. Amen. Like I told you on Sunday, come with family, come with friends. Always come to church with people. Don't come alone. If you get blessed, it's good to get others too. The leper said, today is the day of salvation. We hold our peace. We do not well. Hallelujah. So I encourage you, invite someone. Prayer on Friday. A prayer meeting on Friday is night of possibilities. All right. So we will come. We'll start praying by 8 o'clock. So I encourage all of you, come around. Let's make fire. Is that okay? We intercede for the city, for the nation. We'll supplicate for yourself, for your loved ones. And then we'll pray for the ministry. Hallelujah. It's going to be an amazing and explosive time of God's grace. You can follow us on Facebook at the Embassy of Heaven. On Instagram at Glory Zone Church. We have transportation available to the different routes. Terminals is passing on the screen. Gather view and all that. So when you go out, we can sort transportation out if you need. For those of you that have vehicles, please hope those who don't have cars yet, amen, that are going in your area. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah. I said there's something important I'm forgetting. Yes. Please, those at the Gilead Network, you're supposed to see me after now, so we'll see at the office. Please, we have departmental and unit outreaches, all heads of departments and assistants. Ensure your outreaches hold this week between Thursday and Friday. Your flyers will be available at Church Office. And then remember to fill your report sheets and submit them. Your outreach reports, as usual. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Remember our one chair challenge. Who has brought a chair? Anybody? Wait, how many of you heard it on Sunday when I talk about someone, some people bring? Who has brought any chair? Has anyone done that? All right. Canada, you see Abitun and Saturday. Amen. We just have a week. We will not say anything about it again after Sunday, I assure you. Hallelujah. We have other things to do. Amen. Please celebrate. I'm sounding like I'm in the university. I'm going to say Uncle David Babali. Amen. Celebrate Pastor David Babali. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Amen. Let's rise to our feet as we close the service. Anybody worshiping with us for the first time, today's your first.
You have just listened to Pastor Erasmus Amewell, the senior pastor of the Embassy of Heaven. For more messages and information, log on to our website www.theembassyofheaven.org. Stay blessed.